Major Ian Thomas was a Bible teacher from the United Kingdom, and he said this in one of his messages. He said, the life that Christ lived qualified him for the death that he died. The life that Christ lived qualified him for the death that he died. And the death that he died qualifies you for the life that he lived. The death that he died qualifies you for the life that he lived. And as we enjoy that life that he lived, as he gives us that resurrection life through the power of the Holy Spirit, he changes us. And really, he wants to change almost everything about us, right? When we come to know Christ, we think we know our sins are forgiven, and we think, okay, now I'm something that somebody that God can use. But as we grow and mature in Christ, we start to see that he's in this process of changing us into his image. And there really isn't too much in us when we come to him that looks like him. But as he changes us, we realize and recognize all the gifts he's given us and the tremendous love, the tremendous grace, the tremendous mercy, the tremendous power, the tremendous wisdom. All that we need to live the Christian life is found in him. And today we're going to talk about one aspect of what he's given us, and that's what the Bible calls the mind of Christ, or the Jesus mindset, his focus. You know, athletes have a mindset. Artists have a mindset. Engineers have a mindset. You have a mindset. And Jesus had a mindset. And we're going to look at that today. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 13. And your mindset is important. Your focus is important. Because what our focus is on influences the way we interpret situations, and it influences the way we respond to situations. So let's look at what the Apostle Paul had to say about the mind of Christ in Philippians 2, 1 through 13. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The Arbinger Institute is I guess you call them a think tank or a consulting company for business leaders. And they talk about two mindsets that I want to set before you and propose to you that these are two basic mindsets that we all have from time to time. And the first one is the inward mindset. Okay? Now, the inward mindset is it's self-focused, right? Inward, right? So there are three aspects of this inward mindset I want to highlight. It's based in pride. It can be pride in our status, pride in our accomplishments, pride in our talents. It can also have a subtle pride that on the other end of the spectrum, maybe we failed. Maybe we are consider ourselves a loser. And there's that subtle pride that says, God could never forgive somebody like me. The inward mindset also has this drive toward independence. And that independence can manifest itself in trying to become self-reliant. Or at the other end of that spectrum, that independence can manifest itself in being seeking that independence through dependence on others. There's also a third aspect of the inward mindset, and that is that it pleases the self. Its focus is on, you know, my focus on pleasing me. You know, I really don't, you know, if I'm driven by an inward focus up here this morning, I'm really concerned more about my performance than saying anything that might be of any benefit to you. Right? I hope that's not true. A leader who is self-focused, who has that inward mindset, uses those people under their authority to accomplish their own goals. Not so interested in what's going on in their lives. And he leads through often through fear and through intimidation. And when goals aren't met, that inward mindset leader will blame others. Let me give an example of an inward mindset. If any of you who are parents here and you had young children, infants, there was probably a night or two when husbands, you went to bed tired. You had a long day at work and you have an important meeting the next morning or a big day of some sort and you need your rest. You're looking forward to sleeping. And mothers, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you've been with that child all day. And you are looking forward to going to sleep just to get a break. Right? And your head's hit the pillow, and about 10 minutes later, you know what happens. The baby's crying. And you lay there. Is she going to get up? She knows I've got that big day tomorrow and I need my rest. I'm going to lay here and hope that she gets up. I know nights are my time. I'm supposed to help her out, but I think I'm going to wait. I hope he gets up. I cannot fathom the thought of having to get up and change that diaper one more time today. I just need some rest. That's the inward mindset. Or maybe you have a larger family, and so you're raising your children, you're training them to be responsible, and one of the things you're doing is, you know, they're old enough to wash their own dishes, right? And so, as the father, you're laying down the law, and you say, kids, we're going to wash our own dishes now, and when I come home from work, I don't want to see any dishes on the counter or in the sink. Let's keep it clean. You're old enough, I think you can do it, right? Well, if I'm an inward mindset father, which I tend to be sometimes, I'll come home and there will be dishes on the counter. Most of the time, I'll say, okay, I'm just going to do them because I know it's my neurosis that's causing this whole situation. So I'm going to do the dishes. So I clean them up, I do them. But over time, that starts to irritate me because I'm inward focused. I don't go to them and encourage them. I just keep doing the dishes, and it keeps building up inside of me. Why am I doing their dishes? Why am I doing their dishes? They're old enough to do their dishes. And I come home one day, and all there is on the counter is a fork. Just a fork. But it's enough to set me over the edge. Right? I'm at that point. Whose fork? Right? Who did not wash their fork? And the whole family's going to pay for my inward focus. Well, the Arbinger Institute also talks about the outward mindset. And the outward mindset is kind of a step up from the inward mindset, and it's a focus on the team, or on the family, or on the congregation. Right? And so instead of seeking goals to please yourself, you're now seeking goals to please the team. And so the outward mindset leader is going to build up the team. So instead of complaining about the fork, he's going to go and say, hey, somebody did a great job of doing their dishes. The fork is just, you know, that's just one little piece of the pie, and you did a great job. And he's going to encourage. Right? going to see things to build from rather than things to blame. It focuses on team goals and accomplishments, not so much on individual goals and accomplishments. And the team reaches their goals together instead of seeking that independent self-reliance. So back in bed, I'm laying there, and the baby cries. Well, you know what? She's been doing that all day. I know I've got that meeting, but I'm going to get up and do that, change the diaper. You know what? He's got that meeting in the morning. I'm going to get up and change the diaper. And so there's that outward focus that can change that dynamic. But we can fall into a trap, and this is the deceptive part of the inward mindset, is that we can be outward focused, but still be driven by the inward mindset. So if I'm that husband in bed, and I go and change the baby's diaper, I really didn't do it because I love my wife or to show my love for her. I did it because I know I'm supposed to and I can check that box off. What a loser. I'm glad no one said amen. Thank you. Well, you know what? In the kingdom, there's something much better than an inward mindset and an outward mindset, and that is the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul referenced both the inward and the outward mindset in this passage we read in verse 4. He said, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, inward, but also for the interests of others, outward. But then he said and followed it up with, let this mind be in you. Let this be your mindset. Let this be your focus, which was also in Christ Jesus. And there are three aspects of the mind of Christ that I want to talk with you about this morning. And they are that Jesus Christ was a humble man, total humility before the Father, that he had a relationship of relentless reliance on the Father and a relationship of complete obedience to the Father. Let's look at his relationship of humility with the Father. Verses 6 through 8, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Now, Jesus' humility is very different from our humility. Right? We're usually humbled when we do something, we recognize we've done it wrong or we haven't done what we were supposed to do, and we're humbled. Right? And then there are those who are humble who never talk about themselves or their accomplishments, and that's a certain type of humble, humility. But Jesus' humility, he talked about in Matthew 18 when the disciples asked him, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we just read in Philippians 2, about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In verses 9 through 11, we read, therefore God exalted him, speaking of Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ was a humble man. He's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that's part of his mindset. Is humility, to set aside those attributes of God that were incompatible with becoming a man, and he took on the form of a man and became a man. A man as God intended man to be, the second Adam. And this was his mindset. Now, that humility brings us to the second attribute of the mind of Christ, which was a relationship of relentless reliance on the Father. When you're humble like a child, you are totally dependent. And this was Jesus' relationship with the Father. Jesus didn't come to this earth to show the Father what he could do. He didn't perform any miracle and then turn to the Father and say, how about that one? Does that one please you? Now, he described his relationship with the Father in these terms. In John 5:19, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever things he does, these also does the Son likewise." And in John 12, verse 49, he said, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." And in John 5:30, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Jesus Christ didn't do anything unless the Father showed him what to do. He didn't say anything unless the Father told him to say it. And this is the mind of Christ. He did not seek to please himself. The third aspect of the mind of Christ is his complete obedience to the Father. In Philippians 2, verse 8, we read, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." And here's the extent of Jesus Christ's obedience to the Father. Not only did he do everything he was told to do, only said what he was told to say, only did what he saw the Father do, but when the Father told him to lay down his life and to drink the cup of his wrath, here was his response. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." One glimpse into a man like you and I who is about to experience the full wrath of God and separation from God for you and I. And he doesn't say, "I don't want to do it. I really would like to get out of this." He says, is there some other way? But there was no other way. God's justice had to be satisfied. And he drank the cup. I know we can't really fully comprehend what that would be like, to say everything the one from whom we have obeyed, the one whom we love, the one whom has told us what to do and we've done it, the one who's given us everything to say and we've said it. He comes to us with a cup and says, "You're going to drink, it's time to drink this cup and lay down your life for the sins of the world. You're going to experience my full wrath, the wrath from not only the sins of Brian DeCook, but from all of us, from all time. And you're going to be separated from me during that time." And he obeyed. Complete obedience. So Jesus Christ's mindset is not inward focused. He didn't come to please himself. We read that in John 5:30, "For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." And Paul wrote in Romans 15:3, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." So the Jesus mindset is not inward focused, but it's also not outward focused. Paul wrote in Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." The Jesus mindset is not outward focused. It's Father focused. And the great thing about the Jesus mindset, the mind of Christ, is that it's available to us. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." It's the Lord who works that mindset into us. Just as we cannot fully live an outward mindset even, right? That inward mindset of ours, the old man, is just always around, lurking for an opportunity to bring us down and to hinder our walk with Jesus Christ. But the mind of Christ is a gift from the Father. and he desires. It's Christ living in us. It is part of walking with Jesus Christ. So for us, there are three aspects of the Jesus mindset in us. Total humility before Jesus Christ. A relentless reliance on Jesus Christ. And complete obedience to Jesus Christ. This is where he's taking us. The Jesus mindset is a gift. And let's look at the relationship we have with him. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." The Father sent him with that mindset to this earth to redeem us. And now he sends us into our world to be the light of the world, to be his ambassadors of reconciliation, to be his representatives in this age, at this time. He desires that relationship of relentless reliance on him. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." Just as he could do nothing apart from the Father, we can do nothing apart from him. And that relationship of obedience, he said, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." We struggle with obedience sometimes, don't we? But the obedience that comes from the mind of Christ at work in us brings joy. And it's that inward mindset that when we look at obedience, we think, "Boy, that seems awful burdensome to me to try to live that way." But when it's the Holy Spirit empowering us, and when we are spending time before the Father, letting him fill us, he changes our focus. And that obedience becomes an act of joy. Now, the Jesus mindset is just like our salvation. It's a gift of grace. It's nothing you can earn, and it's certainly nothing we deserve. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who's from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The Jesus mindset affects our inward mindset. Instead of seeking to please ourselves, the Lord begins to change us to seek his kingdom first, to do those things that please him. The Jesus mindset also affects our outward mindset, how we look at and treat others. Remember, I said that the outward mindset looks to serve others, to cause a team to grow, to be more concerned about the growth of the team and growth of individuals than just our own self-interest. But the Jesus mindset comes in and affects that that outlook, that focus, by truly loving them. We begin to esteem others as better than ourselves, and we begin to treat them the way that we have been treated by Jesus Christ, instead of according to how they treat us. This is the mind of Christ at work in us. The sad reality is we can try to live the Christian life from an inward focus. Try to please God. Try to do all those things that we know we're supposed to do. But we'll be just like that husband who gets back in the bed and checks off his box. We can also try to live the Christian life from an outward focus and try to please others, try to serve others, get all busy and doing things for others. And people look at us and say, "Wow, what a Christian they are. Look at all the things they're doing." But in our heart of hearts, we're just checking off another box. And we're not doing it in the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's no humility. There's no relentless reliance. And our obedience is to the desires of men, to serve them and please them rather than to please God. And so how do we lay hold of the mind of Christ in our lives? Just like our salvation, it's very difficult. We present our body and we say, Lord, here I am. Grant me the grace today to live in the mind of Christ. Grant me the grace, Father, to be humble before you in the humility of Jesus Christ. Grant me the grace, Father, to rely relentlessly on Jesus Christ today. And grant me the grace to obey you today, because I don't have it in me. And that simple prayer, the Lord will answer. And he's going to begin to change us, begin to change our focus, change our attitude, change the way we respond to situations, because we no longer respond so much from that inward mindset and that self-interest, but begin to see the Lord's hand at work in all of our relationships. Because every relationship we have, he desires to manifest his glory and his presence in your life in those relationships. You are his ambassador of reconciliation. You are the light of the world. Now, if you don't know Jesus, and this all sounds very foreign to you, come grab somebody at the Connect desk afterwards, and we can talk to you about making that change in your life. But for now, be encouraged that the Lord is at work in your life, and his desire for you is to know him in the way I'm talking about, the mind of Christ at work in your life every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you that you're always at work. We thank you that you're always at work manifesting the life of Jesus Christ in your people, transforming us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, from glory to glory, day by day, moment by moment. And Father, we thank you that one of those things that you desire to change in us is our attitude, our focus, our mindset. And we thank you that you have given us the mind of Christ. Father, forgive us for not walking in the mind of Christ as we should. We know that doesn't surprise you, but we also know and thank you that you desire to change that. So, Father, help us. Grant us the grace, Father, to walk humbly before you. Grant us the grace, Father, to rely relentlessly on Jesus Christ for our life, for our love, for all that you have for us in him. And grant us the grace to walk in obedience to you in ways that we never have before. And we thank you that you're faithful. We thank you that you love us. We thank you you desire to reveal yourself to us in these ways. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.